This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
This is Mark Gastineau. You're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a big football Friday. It's Friday,
woo,
December 11th. 2020. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're together for the next 4 hours, the other 20. That's your responsibility. Boy, we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. It's one of those days where I don't know if 4 hours is enough. It's one of those days where we should have asked Max for part of his hour, where we should ask for Carlin for part of his 3 hours. That it's one of those days, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll get it in.
I'd rather start early than finish late. So
true.
I would have
true.
Asked Max.
Today we have cover three trivia, which Peter loves.
Big fan.
Big fan of that. Maybe we'll get a Giant fan because we're running out of Jet questions. The questions, though, were so hideous last week. And Andrew said he was going to really take a hold of it. Andrew, did you?
So I did double check the questions to at least make sure that they came with the correct answers. And
did
do.
You bring the person and bring him into the office and tell him his job or her job was on the line?
I don't have that kind of power.
Wait a minute.
But I let it be known I was not happy.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, he doesn't have the power to reprimand, but you do have the power to let that individual know he did or she did an absolute horse garbage job and should be ashamed.
Very nicely said. I hope that's what you did, Andrew.
Is that
and
what
if you didn't, and if you feel uncomfortable with it, I'm telling you, since I've already established myself as the heel of the show, give me the person's name. I'll handle it.
I will not give you their name, but don't worry. We're good today.
All right, so we mentioned this is a football Friday, but, boy, this story jumped out at me, and very little annoys me anymore. By the way, remember when we told you how Dave Dombrowski said that he was never going to leave Nashville, he was going to see it through? Well, he was just officially announced as the Phillies head of baseball, and he actually gave a great answer. He said that he had gotten word from Major League Baseball that they're pushing back expansion. And he didn't want to wait that long. He's 64 years old. And if it's another 5 years before expansion, he'd be 69 before they even get a team. So that's why he said he was in for the long haul, but the long haul turned out to be longer. Anyway, that's resolved. But Kyrie Irving yesterday was fined $25,000 because he would not speak during the team's media availability.
Mm-hmm.
And today he sent, I don't know what this is. I don't know if it's Twitter or Instagram. I'm not sure.
It's an IG story, I believe.
Okay, thank you. So he has three paragraphs. And he writes on the first paragraph, it's a black background, all white letters. I've had enough of someone else's propaganda. I'm for truth, no matter who tells it. I'm for justice, no matter who it's for or against. I'm a human being first and foremost, and as such, I am for whoever and whatever benefits humanity as a whole. And it says, Malcolm X, year X. Then he writes, this is Kyrie, I pray we utilize, quote, the fine money, close quote, for the marginalized communities in need, especially seeing where our world is presently. Then in parentheses, I am, close parentheses, and then he goes, I am here for peace, love, and greatness. So stop distracting me and my team and appreciate the art. We move differently over here. Third paragraph. I do not talk to pawns. My attention is worth more. What an ass.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, I like Kyrie as a player. I love him as a player. I remember when Peter and I went to that game last year. He had a great game. Afterward, he came over, hugged his dad. He's magical on the basketball court. But let's not make it out to be solving the world's problems. That's number one. Number two, don't call me a pawn, because everybody that doesn't own a business is a pawn. Everybody. You are. Kevin Durant is. Sean Marks is. Steve Nash is.
If that's what we're going with as the definition of pawn.
Well, I mean, a pawn is somebody that doesn't have total control. Yeah, we don't have total control. We're pawns for ESPN. I'm a pawn for ESPN. I'm a pawn for YES. I'm an employee of them. Whether you want to call an employee a pawn, whatever the case may be. What an insulting thing to say. Who do you think you are? You're better than us?
Here's what it really just comes down to. And this happens across the board with professional athletes, but we see it a lot in the NBA. Because they have so much power in the NBA as opposed to the other sports. Is like the second you don't want to do something, you come up with all these kind of grandiose ways that you don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. Don't make it seem heroic. You're well compensated, okay? You might be an employee, but you are well compensated. Nobody's taking advantage of Kyrie Irving, all right? He is making a boatload of money. He basically got to handpick the coach he wanted to. He's on the team that he wants to be on, right? So there's a couple of rules you have to follow. One of those rules, you got to talk to the media. And then you don't want to do it. And so instead of just saying no, you're trying to make it seem like it's some heroic thing you're doing by not talking to the media. But deep down inside, it's just this guy's a spoiled brat who has everything at his disposal, and yet he's going to play the whole pawn card like he's being used, like he's being taken advantage of. There's a lot of people that have jobs that they feel like pawns, that don't have the power that you have, that still have to follow the rules to be able to hold on to their job. If the worst thing you've got to do, Kyrie, is talk to the media for 2 minutes after games, don't make it seem like you're saving the planet by not doing it. And do not make it seem like the ask by the NBA is putting you in this completely impossible position. Come on. Stop.
Laura Albanese of Newsday, really good writer, she printed that and posted it. And then she said, in this passage, Malcolm X is talking about broadening his approach while working toward racial equality. And then she writes, Kyrie is ... talking about joining a Zoom meeting.
That's what I mean.
I mean, really, you're comparing to the stuff that Malcolm X was trying to put across to what you're... I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. And now, this is always a dangerous subject on a talk show. And you know why. Because some people out there, if we put up a poll right now, do you care if he talks? None of them would. We would lose. And we'd get comments like, why does he have to talk to you? Who do you think you are? He has to talk to me because there's a rule in the NBA. And if he doesn't talk to me, he's not talking to you, the person who essentially helps pay his salary. It is a big gob of phlegm right in all of our eyes. But beside the point, I have been covering sports for 35, 36 years. And I will tell you, I've seen guys that bolt out of the clubhouse, bolt out of the locker room, don't want to talk. Now, does it affect the media? No, because we say player X didn't want to talk, and it makes them look like jerks. But you know who it bothers? It bothers the player X's teammates, who then have to answer questions about player X. So Kevin Durant, who's really tight with Kyrie, they came as a package to the Nets. He's going to have to answer every day. Why did Kyrie not take that three-point shot? Why did he? You were wide open. You guys were down two, and he took the three instead of passing it to you. He's going to have to answer questions that Kyrie Irving should have to answer. And after a while, it's going to really, really grate on everybody in that net locker room. And this is the time now for the one non-pawn in all of this, Joe Tsai, who owns the Nets, to step up and go, enough of this crap. You're going to talk to the media on Zoom. It's not that difficult. And when you say, like, your words are going to be twisted or not get the message across, it's on Zoom. It's recorded. Nobody, if you have a one-on-one interview with somebody and then they kind of twist your words, it's hard to prove it. This is provable. You're on Zoom. It's being recorded. Just if somebody twists your words, just play it over and say, this guy lied. Instead, you're playing this game. Nobody cares about what you have to say anyway. It's all the things that you have to do. I hope that the NBA, every single game that the Nets play, that he doesn't talk, fines him $25,000. Every single time. And no matter how rich you are, if you find the richest guys in the world, $25,000, 72 times a year, that would bother them. That would bother them. He comes off looking like a jerk. And I'm even going to go further now. If you could get Kevin Durant to sign off on it in an eye blink, send this guy out. Send him to Houston and let him go and play in Houston where he doesn't have to talk, and bring back James Harden. One other thing. If this happened to a player on the Knicks, everybody would be jumping. I mean, jumping Jim Dolan for the awful culture they have at MSG. And they would blame the Knicks. Hey, the Nets, you want to be big time? You don't want to just be the team in Brooklyn? You want to be the New York team? Act like professionals as an organization. You make sure that your player talks. But once you allow, as Don said, a player to get rid of a coach, a player to hire a new coach, to dictate policy, your hands are kind of tied. One college basketball coach once told me, once you give a kid or a recruit money, you can never discipline them. They own you because you've done something bad, and they know, and they could turn you in. So that's the choice you make when you grease the palm of a recruit. This is a choice the Nets are making, though, when you allow one of the players to, or two of the players to run the entire show. I'm not asking Kyrie Irving to do something that's so arduous.
Right.
Go on a Zoom meeting for 5 minutes. That's it. That's your responsibility. That's your responsibility as a professional athlete. As I told Paul O'Neill once when he was a player, it was before the 1998 World Series. The Yankee clubhouse at the stadium was absolutely jam-packed. And he's complaining to me, oh, my God, we got to get ready for a game. I said, you like making $6 million a year? He goes, yeah, what does that mean? I said, well, this all comes with it. If you didn't want to make $6 million a year, you shouldn't become a curler. You don't have 300 people in the clubhouse. You want to be a professional basketball player in the NBA? Part of your responsibility is to be an adult and talk with the media. And one more thing. Sorry, I'm taking up all the air. The Yes Network pays a lot of money for the rights to the Nets. A lot. And you know what they've gotten from the Nets? Not that much in all the years that we've had them. And now one of your star players is refusing to speak? So if Sarah Kustak wants to interview him, or Ryan Rucco wants to interview him, he's not going to do it? There's tens of millions of dollars that the Yes Network pours in to the Nets for the rights to broadcast their games. Joe Tsai and Sean Marks are going to let this stand? They're going to let this guy say, I'm not talking to the media? Adam Silver has to step up and stop with the 25 grand and just keep upping it. Keep upping it. 50 grand next time. 100 grand next time. 150 after that. Let's see if he has the courage of his convictions. It's ridiculous. And if you don't want to be a pawn, Kyrie, here's my little clue to you. Leave. You're not an indentured servant. You could retire. If you don't want to put up with us, the filthy pawn media, get out. Go start your own league. Don't play basketball. Own something. Become an owner and make everybody around you pawns. But right now, as long as you play for the NBA, you have to follow their rules. And their rules is to engage with the media. It's a bad look. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry I'm so fired up about it.
Well, I just love it.
It's an awful, 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 awful look by Kyrie. And it's just as bad a look for the Brooklyn Nets. Wake up. Wake up. Get this guy in a room with Kevin Durant and have Kevin Durant appeal to him as well. You got to talk to the media. Listen, give yes and no answers, but that's your responsibility. You have to talk to the media. Otherwise, we have to answer your questions.
Now, I believe that people take our complaining about it the wrong way, as if, well, we're not going to get a chance to talk to him. Like, we're defending the media. Michael, I think we're in the same boat. If I never talk to Kyrie Irving, I'm good. I don't care, right? But what was told to me by the Jets a long time ago was that on their website, the thing that gets the most hits of anything is when a player speaks. Like, the majority of the fans want to hear from the players. If you're a Net fan, and we don't put any Nets on, we'll get phone calls, we'll get tweets, we'll get emails. How come you never put any Nets on? The fans, for the most part, want to hear from the players because they root for this team and they want to know what the player thinks about certain things, why they took that shot, how they feel about being a Net, how they feel about winning five in a row or losing five in a row. They want to know that. And the media is the conduit to that. And you're right. I've been in many rooms, Michael, where I had to get sound.
And if a player didn't want to speak, all right, I moved on to another player. And if none of them wanted to speak, all right, well, then there's only so much I can do, all right? But the fans get deprived of what they want. They want to hear from these. So it's not us whining and complaining about it. It's the fans that are the ones that get gypped. Also, if Kyrie felt that it's wrong to speak to the media in general and was fighting with the Players Association and the NBA to get all players to stop talking to the media, I would disagree with it, but I would say, all right, well, obviously this is something he's pretty passionate about. No. This is him not talking, which means everybody else now has to pick up the slack, as you said before. So does that mean that Dinwiddie's now some pawn that you're not, that he's some bad guy, that he's doing something wrong by speaking to the media? Because that's what ends up happening, right, Michael? You talk about dividing a room. If you're a Net fan, you want to see this team win. The last thing you want is there to be division in the room where the guy that speaks to the media now is the one that maybe is the outcast because he's not supporting one of the star players. There's a very good possibility that a lot of other players might follow suit here to support Kyrie. And if they don't support Kyrie, will Kyrie then think that he's being abandoned by the rest of the team? Why are you creating trouble you don't need to create? Again, you are a multimillionaire. You're playing for your childhood team. On a team that's got a chance to win a championship in a really cool city, in a real cool building, in a tremendous market. And you're asked to do one thing that might be a little awkward or something you don't feel like doing, and you're flipping out? I mean, every job, Peter, right, every perfect job's got one or two aspects that you'd rather not do. Let's not make it seem like that he's really being put out by having to go there and after a game say a few words to the media. Well, come on.
There's a few things here, though. A couple pieces. Number one, Kyrie probably still will talk. Okay? So the fans not getting their Kyrie, they will. They follow him on Instagram. He'll probably do friendly podcasts, place that feel like a safe place for him. I'm not defending it because I think it's lame, and I really think sort of invoking Malcolm X the way he did was almost borderline inappropriate because he's not doing anything special. This is that we know, that we understand yet, or that seems clear to me. And the only other issue I have with what you guys said is that, Michael, while you make a good point about moving on from him if you can, I think this team, from a play standpoint, is better with Kyrie and KD than Harden and KD. I think that combination on the court makes them a more potent team. I think them adding Harden, first of all, you never know what other pieces they'd have to lose besides Kyrie because it wouldn't be straight up. And it could totally mitigate what your other really quality players can do. And we looked yesterday that the new top 100 players in the NBA, according to ESPN, there were like six Nets there. This is a team that's well built. Caris LeVert's a budding star. So this team is better with Kyrie, the point guard, than they would be with Harden, the glorious, albeit I love him, ball hog.
I would respectfully disagree. It's certainly an arguable point. I think the addition of Harden with Kyrie and Durant is problematic. I think if you plug in Harden over Durant over Kyrie, it can work. I think it's more troubling having all three of them because Harden and Durant are not Harden and one of the other two guys is going to be the alpha male and going to demand the ball. I don't think it's a deal that would happen because Durant came here with Kyrie. And here's another part I think that has to be emphasized. The Brooklyn Nets want to be the team in New York. They want to be that team. I think that what they did, now we can make the whole beautiful thing, before I even start this part of it, Peter, do you know exactly when the media screwed Kyrie Irving? Did they get something, did we as a media get something wrong? Because I want to know where he's been misinterpreted. And if he can come back and say that, maybe I can understand a little bit more. But I don't think he's ever been misinterpreted. Because when you don't talk, by the way, we have to guess what you're thinking. And that might lead to misinterpretation. Anyway, the other point. I have a feeling. Forget about his childhood team. They wanted to come to New York without the pressure of New York. So they went to the little baby brother's team, not the big guy's team. Although Dolan hasn't been great with the media, especially the Daily News, the players talk on the Knicks. They know that that's part of their job. I don't think Kyrie could get away with this on the Knicks. So you want to be bigger than the Knicks, you want to own the town, then act like a professional organization. There are a lot of guys on a lot of teams that hate the media, most of them. They don't want to talk. But it's part of the deal. It's in your contract. We're not making it up. My feelings aren't hurt. If I never hear from Kyrie Irving again, or at all, I'm going to have a nice life. It doesn't impact me at all. Has it impacted this show at all that for the last 8 years we haven't been able to get Mets? Not a bit. So if Kyrie, I'm just telling you the right thing to do. Joe Tsai has to stand up as an owner of the team and say, this can't happen. Steve Nash has to flex a little bit as a coach and go, Kyrie, this can't happen. You're putting the onus on me and the rest of your teammates. Sean Marks has to say, listen, it's not your team. This can't happen. And I'm sure if you check in with people in Cleveland and in Boston, Kyrie's probably a pain in the rump. And you know why he gets away with it? Because he's great, and he knows that. Listen to Alan Hahn and what Alan Hahn said on Bart and Hahn about Kyrie Irving and this latest stunt.
He's giving you something that comes off as elitist. He's disguising it as anti-establishment. He's buying your compassion with the whole charity thing. But all he knows is that this is going to trigger people. This is such a low bottom of the ocean type of issue to me. I feel like anybody that's reacting and gets angry, you're feeding a troll. Let him be. I think what they're realizing is that nobody's paying attention to them in this city. It's all nationally, we're going to pay attention to the Nets, but nobody's really paying attention. He's doing this to just create this anger. I think he likes this kind of stuff. He wants you to be mad. I don't care. Talk, don't talk. Doesn't change my life. People who are angry, don't manufacture your emotion towards this guy. If he doesn't want to talk, great. The league goes on without you, whether you talk or not. But when you start doing this whole thing about, you know, pawns, meaning media members, and that this whole thing about this stuff's beneath me, and he's telling people just to appreciate the art. Yeah, you're on another planet at this point, and it's not worth my time.
Well, it is worth my time because you can't let guys get away with stuff that is wrong and against contracts. I'm sorry, I don't feel like that.
No,
like,
I get that part of it, but I kind of, and he was echoing Alan, and he said it before I did, but my feelings on the whole thing is that there's always going to be guys that don't talk. In all the rooms that I've ever been in, when I covered the Jets, Brian Cox was a guy that didn't like to talk to the media, didn't do it. You know, and he would come up with, like, creative ways of, like, he'd put a Gatorade bucket on his seat. You know, he didn't talk to the media, all right? And he didn't have any grandiose reason. He just didn't want to do it. So he would take whatever fine, and he just didn't do it. And we accepted it, and we found other people to talk to. So at the end of the day, Alan's right. It doesn't matter that he doesn't talk to the media. But don't make it out to seem like what we're asking him to do is scaling some sort of a mountain. And that he's trying to attach it to some, like, social justice cause. Well, like he is slaying some sort of a dragon, and the truth. All you're doing is you don't want to do something you don't want to do. And it's something that the majority of players do not want to do. They don't want to speak to the media after games. It's a pain in the neck to them, especially after losses. So just don't do it. And take the fine and be done with it. But don't make it seem like you're being some sort of hero by not doing it.
Yeah, but Allen's also applying to Irving that he's playing like some kind of three-dimensional chess, that the Nets aren't getting attention, so this will get him attention. What a loser attitude. They're not getting attention. They're one of the best teams in the league.
No, but if they're not
getting attention, it's because guys like Kyrie Irving aren't selling the team. You're supposed to be selling the team for the price that you get paid.
I think the point that Allen's trying to make is that nationally the Nets are going to be a huge story, but the Knicks are still the game in town here. Because that's the way it is when you're number two, right? And there's probably not as much. If the Knicks, Michael, were as good as the Nets are, this is all we talk about. All we talk about. Even on a football Friday, we'd be talking about the Knicks getting KD. Peter, you imagine what would happen in this town if Kyrie and KD were on the Knicks and the Knicks were competing for a championship? It'd be unbelievable.
Oh,
the Nets has been a story. It would be the story. It would be bigger than anything going on in this town right now. Bigger than the Yankees, bigger than the Giants.
They would 100%
right.
Own the town. And even if the Knicks had gotten two players like this, even if one of the football teams here was competing for a Super Bowl, they'd be sharing headlines at best with the Knicks doing that. That's for sure. It's a good point.
And we opened with it on a football Friday. So, yeah, I think there is, because he's a very intelligent guy. And I think that that's probably, what he's trying to do here is he knows it's going to garner a lot of attention, and it's going to get talked about, and he'll get hated for it, but he probably doesn't care what people think, but it's creating conversation.
I don't buy that. I think he's a self-impressed D-nozzle. That's what he is.
But both could be true.
But I don't think that this is any grand plan of his that we can talk about him. He's a D-nozzle. He's been a D-nozzle his whole career. And the reason he gets away with it is because he's an otherworldly great player.
Right. But usually it comes from a place like, well, why did it happen in Cleveland? Because there was another guy that was way more important than he was.
Why didn't it work in Boston? It's him. What's the one constant? Him.
Right. But he's somebody that I think does thirst for attention.
But this is not the way to get it. First of all, you know how to get attention? He's an unbelievable player. He's incredibly good looking. He speaks beautifully. Right. That's how you get attention.
I know.
He'd have people eating out of his hands. Instead, now he's going to be a pariah.
But we're kind of
playing. And he better play well.
We're kind of playing into his hand because he's all those things. We'd never think of opening. You know, how often are we going to even open with the Nets when they're good? Right? So it's not going to be enough. Because it's still a Knick town for the foreseeable future, right? You've got the Giants competing for a playoff spot.
No,
you got
wrong.
The Yankees in hot stove. And we ended up opening with the Nets today because of something Kyrie did.
But that wasn't his plan. If it was his plan, I'd understand it. He's just being a jerk. This was not his plan. Don't give him any credit that this was his plan. Oh, the Michael K. Show. They're the number one show. I'll say something to open. Stop it. He's just a D-nozzle.
But not specific.
He thinks
to
he's
that.
More important than he is. Words carry like weight from the mountain. Sorry, Kyrie,
right.
No.
And people who think that way believe that when they pull stunts like this, that people are going to pay attention to it. And guess what? We did.
Peter, do you buy any of this part of it? That this was his grand plan?
No, I think that it's happenstance. It's a bonus. It's a benefit. Like it's a benefit. But no, I am with Michael because in Boston. What was the purpose of things going south in Boston? How did he even do it? Boston has been such a steady, you know, it's been a pretty steady team as far as personnel, how people get along. I mean, this iteration of the Celtics, this version of the team under the Danny Ainge regime of the last 15 years, things are even. It just... I think Michael's right. No, but, he does not deal in team settings well.
No, but I think... I don't think that he's sitting there trying to be the architect of, boy, I'll be able to get the Michael K. Show to open with this, or I'm going to get this to be a lead in SportsCenter. Like, I don't think it's to that point, but I think his whole act, he knows that a lot of eyeballs are going to be on the things that he does. So I think that's the way that he is. And he can't let things be, because I think he just knows that whenever he pulls a stunt like this, it's going to attract attention. And I think that's what happens. I think that's what happened in Cleveland because, you know, LeBron's getting all the talk. But guess what? You know, Kyrie will say something, stir something up, and at least it'll generate conversation because that's what egomaniacs do. They want all the attention to be on them, positive or negative. They know when they do something like this, it's going to stir it.
Well, let's put it this way. I'll use your own words against you. Sometimes you're just a D-nozzle. That's the answer.
Bad guy.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy because I'm sure he does good things, but he can't help himself.
No. Yeah, I meant the theory that sometimes the answer is just bad guy.
But, yeah.
Sometimes the answer might just be he's a nozzle.
But the point
and
is...
And he's young. He may grow out of it, but it may just be who
But the nozzle move is to not speak to the media. You cannot speak to the media and not make it a big deal. He's made it a big deal for this reason. Michael, he could have tweeted out, I'm not talking to the media. Or not even say it, and just when somebody sticks a microphone in his face, not say anything. Or just not be at your locker when the game is over. That's not speaking to the media. That's what a lot of players do. That doesn't get any attention. But when you're quoting Malcolm X, when you're calling the media pawns, he knows that that's going to generate a response, and he knows that that's going to get attention.
For all players that despise the media, and again, I can't say most, but probably closer to most than half, hate talking with the media. Hate the media. Hate them. This is the perfect time to be an athlete. We're not in the locker room. We're not in the clubhouse. All you have to do is get in front of a computer screen and ask some questions from boxes. That's it.
Not
That's
that
so
hard.
Tough. You have to be tracked down in the locker room. You have to stand there and talk and talk and talk with 100 microphones in front of your face. You shower, you sit in front of a computer, you answer questions for 10 minutes, boom, you're done. Oh, it's so tough. So tough. We're such pawns. Oh, I feel so badly for you and your $30 million a year contract. Let's get your take. 1-800-919-3776. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Also, the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kayla Greca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Kyrie Irving yesterday was fined $25,000 because he would not speak during the team's media availability.
He was making a boatload of money. He basically got to handpick the coach he wanted to.
Anybody that's reacting and gets angry, you're feeding a troll. Let him be.
And he writes, I do not talk to pawns. My attention is worth more. Everybody that doesn't own a business is a pawn. Everybody. You are. Kevin Durant is. John Marks is. We're pawns for ESPN.
And if the Brooklyn Nets are struggling, they ain't gonna look KD for any kind of trouble they have. We gonna look right at Kyrie Irving.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh yeah, that's a hot hour right there. That's a hot hour. Went by quickly, so you know it's a hot hour. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, it's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now, before we get on with more real stuff,
did you see the promo on Yes just now?
Yeah.
Yeah. With Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was funny what we just talked about.
Before we get into real stuff, here is, seems to be a prevailing thread on Twitter right now. So let Brian from New Jersey articulate what is happening right now. Brian.
Michael.
Hello, Brian.
Yes, sir. You guys are a great show. I just love to tell you that that shirt, that does almost beats the puffy shirt from Jerry that he wore on Seinfeld.
Wow. Is that a compliment?
No,
it doesn't sound like
people
it.
People are not liking the shirt. First of all, it's a shirt from my friends at the Roosevelts, and it's a shirt from the movie Christmas Vacation, and it's little Christmas trees being towed by a truck, and there's a moose head. I mean, what's a puffy shirt? It's not puffy at all.
Yeah, but let me just say this. I was going to open the show with this, but you came out hot, Michael, and I was not going to...
Because you're a professional, Don.
Not going to throw a wrench in the spokes of that.
Right.
Because I was going to say, Peter, at one point, are we just going to ignore the shirt today? Mm-hmm. Because you can't see any of what it is. It looks like a bunch of pine cones from a distance.
Right.
And the way that it's cut, Michael...
That's the issue.
It's odd. It's odd fitting for you.
But it's not a puffy shirt with that.
I think what they're saying is you should change your shirt.
It's distracting. Listen, I love that you watch the show, but it's also available on radio. So if you just want to hear the brilliance of what we're saying, you don't want to see my shirt, then listen on the radio.
Now, I actually like the shirt.
I
think the Roosevelts do a nice job. Who doesn't love vacation? However, to Don's point, the way it fits in the shoulders is so different than what you usually look like. That's where people are thinking
the shoulders
about the
look like Linda Evans from Dynasty? I mean,
TV is not doing it justice.
I mean, I have very broad shoulders.
No, your shoulders right now. Let me give the best example I can. Don, you know who he looks like in the shoulders?
Who?
Herschel Walker. I'm talking mid.
Maybe that's the kind of body I'm sporting.
He was wearing pads.
Right.
You look like an 80s
kind
football
of body
player.
I've spoken.
Are you wearing one of the old school late 80s football neck collars too?
Let me ask you this. The rolls, you mean?
Yeah.
The next break, should I put on another shirt?
No.
You tell me, Peter.
No,
you
I
be
like
the
it.
Arbiter.
Own it. It's
I got
fine.
No issue.
Okay.
I like the shirt.
All right, so it's time now for the Gangrene Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. So the Jets have a game this week, and they're 13.5-point underdogs to the Seahawks. And there was an expose today.
Yeah.
In the Washington Post. Did you see this, Peter?
I just did after you mentioned it because I did not know about this.
So they detailed what actually was behind the divorce of Manish Mehta and the Washington Post and the Daily News. And there's some conjecture that the Daily News and Manish both knew that it was going to come out today, the Washington Post story. So that's why the divorce happened yesterday. And essentially what it said was he's very aggressive. We know that. That he supposedly accosted Joe Douglas's 11-year-old son at a Little League game to get an interview with the dad. And then, again, this is all alleged in the Washington Post story. I'm not reporting it as fact. And then told Joe Douglas that if he didn't interview him, that he's going to be really tough on him. If he didn't give him an interview, he's going to be tough on the Jets. It's a really heavy-handed way to do the job. Also was supposedly very rude to Jenny Vrentis and Kimberly Martin, two women who had covered the Jets a while back. And the Jets had put together this whole dossier of stuff that he's done that bothered them. And the underlying tone of the story was that it's a dangerous precedent that the Jets are setting, because do you go and investigate somebody if they write stuff that's not to your liking? It opens up a whole other can of worms. I don't know if it was that. He's been on the beat for 10 years, and I'm sure he's been an irritant to them for 10 years. But I will tell you this, something that's personal to me, and I've told Manish this, so I'm not speaking out of school. The Jets put so much value in what Manish Mehta was writing that they didn't hire Doug Marrone as their head coach because of the Manish Mehta one-man band to take down Doug Marrone and tell you what a bad guy he was. Manish supposedly found these people in Buffalo that hated Doug's guts. And then Woody Johnson saw this and said to Doug, I can't hire you with all that. I mean, there was a tacit agreement. That's why he opted out of the contract with Buffalo. The Jets were hiring him. So shame on the Jets for putting as much import into Manish Mehta as they did. And then now they found out, well, maybe not that great a guy. They denied him his press credentials. And then the Washington Post has this whole story today. But if you're going to be heavy-handed like that, you got to cover your tracks a little bit more. You really do. Because there are some writers that use their power to scare people into talking to them. I'm going to be honest with you. They do. But then when your newspaper becomes, I hate to say this because I work for the Daily News, kind of not as relevant as it used to be because there aren't that many people that buy it anymore, well, then, you know, the team could do away with you. And I understand what the Washington Post is saying. You got to watch out that teams don't target writers that are not positive about them and then find stuff out. But I've always said this. When people freak out, well, I don't want, like, if you have to download an app on your phone for contact tracing. I've heard people, I don't want that. That's an invasion of my privacy. If you're not doing anything wrong, what's the big deal? If they find out you went to the bodega, what's the big deal? If you're not doing anything wrong, what's the big deal if people investigate you? Investigate me all you want. I'm not going to find anything wrong. I've never done anything wrong. So that's my point. So even if a team doesn't like what you're writing and then targets a writer and does an investigation of him, when I was a writer, you could have investigated me till the cows came home. You wouldn't have found a thing. Not a thing. So if you don't do anything wrong, you don't worry about investigations. You don't worry about being followed. You don't worry about that people knowing your whereabouts if you don't do anything wrong. So yeah, teams might target writers that might not be positive toward them, but there's nothing to hide, Don. There's nothing to hide.
But he crossed the line, Michael.
It certainly seems like he did.
First of all, he's not a columnist. He's a beat reporter.
He's a columnist that writes a lot of opinion pieces.
But he was on the Jets.
Yeah, he was a beat writer. Yep.
All right? He's not Mike Lupica, who can write about, like, anything and have an opinion. I mean, when you're a beat reporter, you're supposed to reporting the facts, not harassing the general manager's son to get information. I mean, that's crossing a line to me. I know some people in the business might think, no, that's just being prudent. That's
really an 11-year-old kid, it's over the line.
No, that's over the line to me. I mean, listen, you do your job in the confines of doing your job. If you want to make some phone calls, you want to be aggressive, I'm all for that. You start using members of the family. All I know is that if I was the general manager and Manish Mehta was harassing my kid, the least of his issues would be being investigated because he'd be in the hospital. Period. If anybody tried to get to me through my son, like harassing him at school,
are you kidding?
He'd get a beat down. A beat
And there's not a soul who would begrudge you.
Right. No, so he's lucky that the Jets took the high road and Douglas took the high road investigating him and pulling his credential, because if that had happened to me, he'd be in a hospital, all right? That's number one. Number two is that when you start using, like, the leverage of, if you don't give me access, I'm going to write bad things about you, that's crossing the line. Because now there's no journalistic integrity. Your job is to write what you see. All right, you cover the games, you talk to the players, you report who's injured. And yeah, there's going to be times you might throw your opinion when the team's not playing well, but when you are going to basically try to hold somebody hostage by, I'm going to write negative things, that's not being a beat reporter. That's not journalistic integrity. So of course he should have had his credential revoked. Of course the NFL backed the Jets, because the guy shouldn't work in the league again, and the fact that it took this long for the Daily News to let him go is a bad reflection on them. So I've got no use for this guy whatsoever. And that's what puts a lot of the media in a bad light, because then it makes us all look bad, like we're all doing our job that way. And that's not the case. He's a punk that deserves to be out of a job, period.
Now, to build upon the Doug Marrone stuff, and again, I've been obsessed with this for a long time. This was the reason that I've heard from other people that cover the Jets, people that have covered the Jets for a long, 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 long time and had to compete against Manish. He went after Doug Marrone for this purpose, everybody. And the Washington Post didn't have this in their story. Maybe they couldn't get anybody on the record. From what I heard from the other writers, Doug Marrone used to be on the coaching staff of the Jets. He was an assistant coach, an offensive line coach. And he became friends with Mark Canizzaro and Steve Cerby. And Manish said, whoa, if he becomes the head coach, I'm really going to be, you know, in the crosshairs, because he's going to leak stuff to the Post and not to the news. And then he found people that tells you that Doug Marrone was the worst human being in the history of the world. And Woody Johnson, kind of being a foof at the time, did not give Doug Marrone the job because of the singular campaign that the Daily News ran against Marrone. That's it. Now, whether or not they made the right decision or not, you see Marrone struggling right now in Jacksonville, that's not a reason to lose a job. Because when Woody, the last time he spoke to Doug Marrone, he had a copy of the Daily News under his arm. So it's kind of funny that the Daily News, the Jets finally found religion about Manish Mehta, but they didn't find religion until they used Manish Mehta's columns against Doug Marrone and cost the guy his job. Yeah. Shame on Woody Johnson. Shame on Woody Johnson at the time. Shame on him.
You know, because he put way too much stock in a story in a newspaper that he respected.
And it wasn't just a story, Don. You lived it. It was a series of stories day after day after day after day that Doug Marrone, I mean, beat up puppies. I mean,
do you see that?
Very rare.
Well, especially about someone who doesn't have the job.
Right.
And this is just in advance. So proving the point that there was a purpose. Because what's the news story before the guy has the job?
That's not objectivity. You're right, Peter. That's the opposite of objectivity.
And he didn't write this after he got it.
And when I spoke to Manish about it, because I'm a friend of Doug's, he said, I found those people who said that, you can always find one person or two people that are disgruntled. And he found them. I give him credit.
But that's not important. That's doing an investigate. You went and looked, found people for your own benefit.
That fit your narrative.
That fit the narrative that you wanted to report. I mean, your story was written well before you got confirmation from these people, all right? And the funny thing is, all the things that he had done over the years, and listen, I covered the Jets for a long time, and I'd see Manish all the time, because we'd cross paths a lot. But all the inside stuff, the Canizzaros and the Saminis, they run circles around him anyway. So all the stuff that he tried to do to get information, he still was a hack.
And Manish, you're more than welcome to come on the show and explain yourself. It is open to you. You have my number. We're always willing to give it somebody else's side. So if you still
desire,
please.
It didn't happen. But Michael, everything that was in that story was stuff that was being floated around way before that.
Well, that's the Gang Green Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, Westfield World Trade Center. All right, we've got a big football weekend, especially for the Giants. The Jets are just trying to avoid going 0-13. They did get their win against Manish Mehta, but that doesn't count on the record.
Oh, so that's too bad.
No, it's not too bad. You don't want to lose Trevor Lawrence because of Manish Mehta.
That's
The Giants, it's kind of curious. If I ask both of you this, Who's better, the Cardinals in your stadium or Seattle in the Seahawks stadium? You'd say Seattle.
See, absolutely.
Why are the Giants underdogs?
Because I
believe that the Cardinals have lost four or five, and the one game they won was the Hail Mary. So they should have lost five games in a row, and it shows you that Vegas still is not convinced about the New York Giants, Don.
Well, it's one game, right? And you could almost make the case the same disrespect exists for Washington. Now, they're in San Francisco, but the 49ers, to me, you know, for the Washington football team to get 3.5, it's almost as if Vegas said, all right, I need to see more. Anybody can beat anybody any given Sunday, right? That's a phrase, any given Sunday. I get the sense that people still have no respect for this division, think that all four teams are awful, and it's just somebody's got to win it. And, oh, yeah, the Giants had a big win in Seattle. Washington had a big win in Pittsburgh. But look at Pittsburgh. They were ready to lose already. They had a lot of issues. They dropped a lot of balls. Yeah, Seattle, they've been kind of showing that they were leaking water, and they just caught them by surprise. It's almost as if Vegas is daring these two teams to go out there and do it again before they're going to really be taken seriously. And I guess I could see that because there's been more bad than good overall the entire season. But for Peter that's watched a lot of Washington, so have I as a Giant fan. And Peter, you've watched a lot of Giants as a Washington fan, and so have I. These teams are peaking. But if you're not watching them every week, it's easy to say, oh, those were just two fluke wins. They'll eventually come back down to earth. I'm not sure about that for either team.
I'll tell you what. The 49ers being favored by 3.5 over Washington this week, to me, you guys tell me if I'm wrong. After Washington beats Pittsburgh on Monday, in what was like, you know, probably the most talked about game of the weekend, then they turn around, they're 3.5-point dogs at San Francisco. Doesn't that line stink so much that they're begging you to pick Washington and San Francisco wins by 17?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how much you've looked at the card, Peter. I think there's so many games like that this week. Here, come on, pick it. Come on, pick it.
Because
they
want
you to pick these things.
I mean, RJ, what do you think when you see 49ers favored by 3.5 at home over Washington?
The 49ers are, I think, good enough to beat a team like Washington still. Buffalo look excellent against them. But I don't know, the Alex Smith factor, I think you would think he really wants this game. And yeah, it's in a neutral field. The 49ers, I was reading today, they just are holed up in their hotel rooms.
Not even at home.
No, they're in Arizona. They just go back to their hotel rooms after the meetings. They don't interact with each other. It's not like the NBA bubble.
But how could the 49ers be 3.5 points better than Washington on a neutral field?
Maybe because this is their season, literally. If they lose, I still don't think they're a playoff team, but if they lose this, it's over.
But you could say the same for Washington. I mean, so because Washington can't afford to lose this game, because if the Giants win, then it becomes a game and a half again, which is three games left. So this game is just as important for Washington because of the fact the Giants having the tiebreaker. And the Giants are going to play early, right? So Washington will probably step on the field knowing what happened with the Giants. So if the Giants win against Arizona, Peter, I'm not going to say that's a must win, but you're going to need that game. That's going to be a needed game. I think that Vegas and the general public are looking at the Cardinals being a better team than the Giants that are just going through a little bit of a slump. And that the Giants just caught a break against Seattle, just caught them at the right time, that it was kind of a fluke win. And the same for Washington. San Francisco's probably a better overall team, and Washington caught a break catching Pittsburgh when they did. But I think both these teams were trending towards the efforts that they put forth. Now, maybe they caught a break winning the games, per se, because I would say Seattle didn't play their best, and I know Pittsburgh didn't play their best, Peter. So maybe you're surprised they won, but I was not surprised they played well. And I think these teams are trending up, where I think you're going to get the Giants playing at their best. And I think at their best, they're right there.
Well, you want to have it,
and the same with the Washington and San Francisco.
You want to talk about a team that you cannot figure out when you look at their schedule, Michael. When was the last time you looked? I know you've been picking San Francisco.
Yeah. So
this is going backwards. This is what San Francisco's done. They lost to the Bills by 10. They beat the Rams by 3. They lost to the Saints by 14. They lost to the Packers by 17. They lost to the Seahawks by 10. They beat the Patriots by 27. Beat the Rams by 8. got blown out by Miami, lost to Philadelphia before punking the Giants and Jets back-to-back and started the season losing to the Cardinals. I have no idea who this team is.
Well, I just like the matchup. I think Washington's going to get in their backfield and cause some problems. So
are you tipping your hand?
I think it's a bad matchup for San Francisco.
You tipping your hand on?
The last thing you want him to do is pick Washington, because that's one game that you can't catch up with him on.
That's true.
Austin in Buffalo. Austin.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me on. I just want to say I love the shirt. I'm a big Roosevelt guy. The short sleeve shirts and the long sleeve shirts, they're super comfortable. And whenever I wear them in the office on casual Friday, I always, always, always get a reaction.
Well, so, and which one are you? And which one of the owners are you close friends with?
It's funny. I actually know one of the friends of the owners that used to live in Jersey, and they're from there. But
gorgeous
item. We love the there. Product. And this is not a, this. It just it, TV's not doing it justice, Michael. I'll say that.
Well, let's put it's it. And we thank you for the phone call, Austin. I'm trying to have holiday spirit. You're going to see stuff that I break out next week. It's going to offend you. There's going to be Christmas lights around my neck. It's going to be a blast.
Really?
If you can't be happy around the holidays, when can you be happy, Kyrie?
Fair point.
That's why I said the shirt's not doing it justice, because that doesn't look like a holiday shirt to me. It looks like you're wearing a white shirt with pine cones.
Well, you know what? What is a Christmas tree, Don, other than a pine cone on steroids?
Well, if I'm going to walk around with a shirt with a bunch of pine cones, it's not exactly putting me in the Christmas spirit.
Was that wait. I need ribbons and bows, RJ. I don't need this. Stop. This is...
No, I'm prepared. When's our big show? The big Christmas extravaganza is Wednesday, right? I will be prepared Wednesday with something. Remember, because I had the whole elf sweater last year.
What's this breaking news?
I guess that I'm going to break out a really cool shirt on Wednesday.
Oh. Wow. All right, so we'll talk more about a big football Friday. Also, some comments that Brian Cashman made yesterday that...
You're kidding.
...were certainly illuminating.
Mm.
Like the lights on a Christmas tree. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you. You can hear us on smart speakers. If you have an MIT degree, you can actually hear us online, ESPN app, and also you can watch us on Yes and listen on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Well, it's the most wonderful time of the year. The Michael K. Show holiday broadcast is back. That's right. This year, giving you a chance to hit the airwaves with me, Don, and Peter with your holiday hot take. You know, everybody's got them, right? So fire one off for your chance to win some holiday spending cash. And your way on air during this show, the holiday broadcast of this show, on Wednesday, December 16th. That's next Wednesday. Dial into the holiday hot take hotline right now at 347-974-ESPN. That's 347-974-3776. Leave us a message with your best hot take. Four winners will each score $250 and a shot at the spotlight during the show with the biggest names in sports. The Michael K. Show, 98.7 ESPN. Now, when we put together a show, we're trying to entertain those that are watching and listening. But we also we're spawning ideas for others that might have shows. We're like a little factory here.
Okay.
We manufacture segments. Greeny heard me saying that I don't like when fans go, we or us. So somebody on Twitter actually answered me back and said, well, I mean, it's a little bit cumbersome to say Washington football team. I hope the Washington, rather than I hope we win. And, well, that's Washington's fault for having such a clunky name. If you're a Yankee fan, I hope the Yankees win. That's just as quick as I hope we win. It's one quick syllable. Anyway, Mike Greenberg took it and ran with it. And listen to Greeny.
I disagree with my friend Michael. I have no problem with you calling your pro team college. It goes without saying. Like, Northwestern is definitely we and us, but I'm an alum. I'm every bit as much a part of that school as anyone else who ever went there or who goes there. So I consider that I genuinely think that's a legitimate we or us. As far as my fandom of my favorite teams, here's what I will agree with Michael. If you're going to call them we and you're going to call them us, then you have to continue to do that through the worst of times. So when your team is good, it's us and we. And when they're bad, you have to stick with that. Like I jokingly said, if I ever write my sports autobiography, it's going to be called We Never Win in Buffalo, because in my youth, the Jets never won in Buffalo.
Now, I would disagree with Greeny. There's one set of fans that could say we and us, just one. Green Bay Packer fans who own the team.
Oh, my God, this is so stupid.
It's so Captain Literal, man. It's ridiculous.
You're so smart, and yet this is so stupid.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Captain Literal, man.
You ever notice when a team wins, a fan goes, we? When they lose, they go, they? You ever notice that?
Wow. Like clockwork.
Yeah, it's so sad.
No, like clockwork. As Kay was saying this, meaning it had not made it to air yet. This had not been heard yet. Ballard sends me a picture of his Packers stock
Ballard.
And writes, we/us.
That's right. He's right.
You are in lockstep with Ballard right now?
For the first time ever, I think that miscreant is right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Meanwhile, that one big statement you made would give people the right to think that like Ballard could call up Green Bay and have a say on who the next coach is going to be.
But he does own the team. He owns a part of the team.
The thing is, Michael, you got some nerve, and I'm going to tell you why, that I would take offense to your opinion. For the amount of money that people spend on their teams, whether it be season tickets, jerseys, hats, memorabilia, the time that they invest in the team, they may not technically be a member of the team, but I tell you what, they've got every right to say we, because their money and their fandom gets used to support that team in some way, shape, or form. So maybe they don't have stock in the team, but some guy that's got season tickets to the Yankees, that might help in some way, shape, or form to get the DJ LeMahieu back here. The amount of money that they invest in cable to get Yes or to get SNY and watch their favorite team play or MSG or whatever network that they watch, that drives up the ratings, which helps them get money for rights. And so you could say we, because you really move the needle. You drive it. You do.
I'm not like I said yesterday, I'm not crazy about it. It's just something that bothers me. But it bothers me even more when fans say we, and then when the team loses, it's they.
Who does that?
A lot of people
does that.
A lot of people. Richard from Manhattan does it.
Richard does?
Oh, but yeah. The point is that there's Peter representing the Washington football team. Where nobody else on the show supports the Washington football team. The majority of New York does not support the Washington football team, so he feels defensive, and so he says we, because he's fighting for them or talking about them. And that's what happens.
He's usually saying
that
we about
gets thrown around where a Met fan and a Yankee fan are fighting with each other. Oh, your team stinks. Well, my team's going to be better than your team. You just throw it out there because you spend so much of your life rooting for the team. Is it wrong to think that you're actually a part of what's going on?
And by the way, from now on, to keep this consistent, Kayster, I believe you need to refer to Ballard as Packers co-owner.
It's better than the other stuff I refer to him as.
It's a very, very
Ballard good point. Misunderstood.
Well, because he's not bright.
But I can't believe this is the hill you want to die on.
It's not. You know what?
You're dying.
I'm not dying on this hill. I said it's something that is an annoyance to me. I wouldn't go crazy about it. Greeny ran with it. I brought it back. It's just a little picayune thing that bothers me.
Well,
it doesn't make me nuts. Other things make me nuts. I am nuts.
But something that bothers someone should bother them because it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Doesn't make sense.
You're telling me that somebody who supports a team, is a diehard fan of the team, you don't understand why they wouldn't?
2 months ago, Steve Cohen had to call them the Mets. Now Steve Cohen can say we.
That's silly because you said Ballard. Well, he had 5% of the team, didn't he?
Oh, you know what? I stand corrected. You're right. He had 5% of the team.
Heck of a lot more than Ballard has with the Packers. I can tell you that.
That is a fact.
But Mike, you're running in circles, and what happens when you run in circles, you don't go anywhere. And I think that's what's happened to your argument, and I think you should stand down.
And also, there's a level of community. Like, especially, so if you root for your local team, or the community you're from, that we also refers to the community of people.
Dude, that's a great
only time that I can say we is when I'm talking about Fordham. I agree with Greeny about that, because you have invested
not the
in
Yankees?
That school. Well, I work for the Yes Network, which owns the Yankees, but I've never said we on the air, ever.
Well, you can't say it on the air because that's who you are and you're professional.
Right.
But in terms of your actual life,
talk about the Yes Network, I say we.
Right. Well, that makes sense. You're an employee of Yes. But what Peter said is very interesting, which doesn't fly in New York, because usually most of the arguments are between two teams that reside in the same city. You know, a Met fan, a Yankee fan, Jet fan, Giant fan, the we doesn't make sense to when you're representing your community because you're all in the same community. But like Peter is representing Washington, arguing with us or arguing with New Yorkers, his we is, from Washington. That's my town. That's my team.
This is a dumb argument by me, and I want to waste a 5 o'clock hour.
Thank you.
But I stand firm. Let's go to Tom in Virginia. Tom.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
You got it.
Hey, I got a question for Peter. What do you think that we should do as Washington football fans do with Dwayne Haskins next year?
It feels like it's over for him there. Obviously, Rivera is not into him. You know, I feel for him. And, you know, the right after he stopped playing, he had a rough week where he was sick and he didn't want to play, and it seemed like his attitude was bad. But then by the next week, he's on the sideline picking up Alex Smith, slapping him on the butt. He's tweeting. You know, he's really still staying involved with the team. So I feel for him because he's putting in an effort. And by the way, guys, we got to be clear. He could be in an interesting spot. It's football. Dwayne Haskins is a moment away at any point from being who would need to try to guide them to the playoffs.
Hey.
So, I don't know. I don't know, but I know that it doesn't seem like he's the future. I would be interested, as I've said before, maybe trying to come up with something to get Sam Darnold. I like Sam Darnold to Washington.
But you don't have to get rid of Haskins. He's not a burden on your salary cap. You don't have to make a decision on giving him any money. Is it possible that, you know, during the offseason he gets his head right and works well in the preseason next year and just becomes a better player? You don't have to make a decision on him.
That's a good point, Dom, but how often does someone get the opportunity, clearly lose it, and then they stick around, come back, get it, and succeed?
I'm sure it's happened. I got to think of times.
But it's not often. It sours you. I just don't think the team believes the right way. And listen, maybe he'll learn, because wouldn't you guys all agree there might be no quarterback in the league who has his players playing for him more than Alex Smith does right now? You know, it's a tough spot to be in.
Peter, you know what we have right now?
Who?
Remember that Christmas party we spoke about yesterday?
Yeah.
Lights flickering.
Sure.
The tree with the garland and the icicles coming off.
Yeah.
The beautiful, you know, Christmas bulbs, the trees, festooned with all kind of ornaments, and underneath, well packaged gifts.
Okay.
And then on the corner, in the corner of the room,
sure,
while the music is playing, Feliz Navidad. Jose Feliciano is actually at the party.
Wow,
it's the Don and Dick show where they talk inside sports. And here's Richard from Manhattan.
There he is.
Richard!
Hi, Michael. Hi,
Hello.
Don. Peter.
Hey, Richard.
Michael, you got me mixed up. I didn't live in your building. I don't live on 76. I'm on 58, but close.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I did.
Okay.
I guess, that's my bad.
Okay, fellas, let me just finish with the Ray Perkins story.
Okay.
38 years ago today, now, this was the fourth and final year of his tenure as a Giant coach. Bob Bryant announces that he's leaving the University of Alabama. The same day, now the Giants, this was a strike-shortened season in 82. They only played 9 games. But the Giants had a chance for the playoffs. Perkins, that same day, announces that he's jolting the Giants to go to Alabama. I mean, this was unbelievable. And the Giants have 3 more games, and they were fighting to get into the playoffs. So Perkins goes down, you know, but they let him coach the last 3 games. The same day, George Young doesn't want this to linger like it did with the, you know, with the feud that went on with Mara and his nephew Tim Mara. So he didn't want that. The same day, he announces Parcells is going to be the coach. So can you imagine that in one day? Bill Bryant retires, Perkins leaves the Giants, and Bill Parcells becomes the New York Giant head coach on the same day. It all happened within a few hours.
Well done. Thank you, Richard. All within a few hours. So you can picture this, right, Peter?
Oh, yeah.
So Tom Ford is at the party looking great. Nice tuxedo that he designed.
Oh, yeah.
And then, there's Jennifer Aniston. She's got a shimmery gown on, cut low in the back. A lot of backle nudity, and then there's the Don and Dick show. So how do you follow up that part of the show, Don, that Ray Perkins last game?
Listen, it's all interesting stuff to me. I'm sorry that you get bored with it. You got to dress it up. But in your defense, he just jumped right into your analogy without even blinking.
What did he do?
Michael built up this whole story. And Richard just continued, like,
by the way, which proves a great point. And I'm gonna fully lift the curtain here. We were discussing, if you didn't hear it yesterday, I retweeted it, the Michael K Show parody account, which I believe is just at the Michael K Show. Is that what it is? They posted the video of the conversations. You can watch it. We were discussing, do we think Richard from Manhattan would be offended by the bit that we did?
No.
And I don't remember who suggested this, but whoever said he has no idea that the bit even happened is the winner. We'll take the money out of the pot, Don, because he just blasted right through.
And just based on his topics of conversation, he may call without even listening.
No, he listened when I said that I thought he lived in my building, so he did listen.
Oh, that's
which
good
means
point.
That you probably, let's be honest, Michael, there was probably some miscreant that lived in your building. You just assumed it was Richard from Manhattan.
No, the guy always talked sports sounded just like Richard from Manhattan, and he did say, I call your show.
Did he say his name was Richard? That part would be important here.
I think he did.
I don't think
maybe he did. Maybe there's two Richards.
It is,
but there's only one Don and Dick show.
Sometimes people think you act like a Richard.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Most
can times. Can we have Jose again? Yeah. The party is hopping, Peter. You know what I'm talking about?
I gotta tell you something right now, Don. I'll tell you this right now, okay? You look at Cleon Jones from 1970 to 1974 and tell me he's not a Hall of Famer.
Listen to the crowd getting into that.
One
and then
the
Don will
things.
Top it and go, you know, I once had a rant about Ed Cranepool. Let's talk about him. And then Richard says,
Ed Cranepool, not only a great baseball player, fabulous man, I used to see him at the Carnegie Deli.
Ed Cranepool!
He went to Monroe High School. I'm
That's
telling you.
That's cool, man!
That's the kind of stuff you'll get at the party.
I just love yesterday when Michael said that there's Jose Feliciano with his sunglasses on.
He does wear sunglasses.
Because he's blind.
Although he actually does sometimes not wear glasses. I've never seen Stevie Wonder without glasses on, but Jose Feliciano has sometimes not worn glasses.
Yeah, Stevie doesn't ever do.
Ever, glasses. Ever. NFL picks coming up. Always
yeah,
an exciting
right.
part of the day on Friday. Peter's on fire. Let's be honest. Let's not even
no,
try
Don
to make a joke
thinks
out
I'm
of
garbage.
It.
Don doesn't care about me. Don doesn't respect
that.
Me.
I
it's going to come
I
back
said,
and
I'm
bite,
not worried
it's going to bite him right in the tuchus.
It might. So, I'm just being honest. I can't help but be honest. I'm not worried. Are you even worried, Michael?
I'm a worrier. I worry about everybody.
No, but Michael, be honest. I believe Michael is paying attention at this point to what I'm doing.
Well, let me put it this way. I am so afraid of losing to somebody like Peter that, yeah, it concerns me.
What do you mean somebody like Peter?
Somebody
keep going.
Somebody has no clue, Peter. None whatsoever, and then you could lord that over both of us. Don has, you know, great confidence in his picking skills. I've stumbled a little bit of late. I cannot lose to somebody like you.
And why do you take me not being worried?
You've lost to me before.
Disrespect. I think I respect you, and if you beat me, then great. I'm not going to worry about it.
I've lost to you before because a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
That is true.
Is that, Don, is that really what you think it is, though? In the case of me and Michael, when it comes to picks, you think it's I'm a blind squirrel relative to him?
I respect your picks more than Michael's, to be honest
That's
with
what
you.
I was going to say. So I don't know why you're trying to do this.
Well, you really believe that?
Because I never accused Peter, not once during this run, that he was getting help.
Yeah, no. Because
I couldn't wait to tell people I thought you were getting help last year.
You're afraid
year.
Of me. But every time that I don't get things right, you know, I don't get help. So those are the weeks I don't get help.
Clown I just show. Don't you're really want to hear.
You really are.
Simply the best ever again.
Well, you'll hear it this week coming up. Right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.